Hello, and welcome to Teen Scientist. I'm your host, Abigail Wood, and doing our audio engineering today is James Zipperup. Here on Teen Scientist, I bring you stories of groundbreaking innovations in the STEAM disciplines entirely from a youth perspective. We feature young researchers and respected experts in their fields at the local, national, and international levels. Today, we have an inspiring guest joining us. Disha is a high school junior at San Jose, California, and a founder of Women's Health AI, a nonprofit leveraging technology to assist women in their breast cancer journeys. Her initiative, BRCATest.org, has helped women globally assess their genetic risk of breast cancer and has received over 400,000 hits already in 2024. Disha, how are you doing today?
Hi, Abigail. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I'm doing great, and I'm really excited to be here and share a little bit about my work.
I'm a junior myself. How has your junior year been? I know, I would say, like, this has been my toughest year yet. I could only imagine how it is for you, too.
Oh, my gosh. Definitely the same. I think junior year is definitely what everyone says it is in terms of how busy it is and how much pressure there is. But I think it's been pretty okay so far. I'm just trying to focus on things that I really enjoy.
Outside of science, do you do any other activities?
Yeah. Outside of science, I play basketball and I play the piano. So I think those hobbies actually give me really good balance because I'm able to decompress with them. And basketball is a very team-oriented sport. So that's really great. And then and otherwise, just to keep the balance, I make sure to prioritize spending time with my friends and my family. And then even with science, again, I try to make sure that what I'm working on at any given time is something that I'm really passionate about. So that really takes the edge off of the stress.
Yeah, you seem it's very balanced. I love that you have a little bit of sports, a little bit of music, and obviously science. So how did you dive into your work and how did you decide you wanted to go into cancer and especially breast cancer research?
So I think I always knew from a very young age that I was interested in technology and then later AI. So that was something that came very naturally to me and I knew I wanted to explore more. And then the inspiration for cancer research came from a more personal place where I took a trip to India with my mom and we were exploring India and I was able to see it from a different perspective than I had previously. And over there, I saw firsthand at these clinics and hospitals how critical early detection and access to resources really can be. And it was heartbreaking to realize that many women don't have these tools, and especially in underserved regions. So that's really where I got the idea that maybe I can apply my love for technology towards problems like this. And then at the time, of course, I was in middle school almost, so I didn't know where to start. So that's where I had conversations with experts like Dr. Mandeep Singh, who's a leading surgical oncologist in India. And what he told me was that treatment is available pretty much everywhere in the world. And patients can get access to treatment at tertiary centers, but a lot of times they don't reach there until it's way too late. So the real place to make an impact, especially in breast cancer, is in early diagnosis and screening.
Oh, wow.
So that's where I decided to, focus. And then the goal with BRCATest.org was really just a simple question, which is, how can I empower women to take charge of their health, no matter where they live, no matter what their socioeconomic status is? And I really think that the answer to that question is technology.
Is that kind of what inspired you to start BRCATest.org? How did you get about that in finding where to start your AI? Because I know you said you didn't know exactly where to start and you found your doctor, but then how did you get into all this AI and come up with the idea of your incredible website?
Yeah, I think I knew that I wanted to focus on breast cancer because there was huge potential over there, especially in underserved regions, to make a difference. And then I decided to start with the very first phase of the breast cancer journey for many women, which is screening, so genetic screening. And over there, what I realized or what I researched was that having a BRCA1 or 2 mutation can increase your risk of developing breast cancer to up to 50 to 85%. And if those mutations are detected early, it can actually increase survival rates significantly. So what I wanted to do was increase awareness and access to BRCA genetic screening. And that's true in underserved areas and developing countries, but it's also really true in the US. A lot of women aren't aware of their risk. And sometimes I'll have situations where I'm talking to someone and they've taken the questionnaire and they say, "Oh my gosh, I didn't even ever consider going in for genetic screening before." So I think it's something that's very important and not many people know about. So from there, I was looking at, I did a lot of research on the best guidelines for BRCA screening. And what I found was that they're very well established by the NCCN, but they were complex and a little bit scattered and oftentimes hard for people to understand. So I took those guidelines and I developed a dynamic tool, which is a simple user interface. So it's very easy and intuitive to use. But then in the back end, it retains all of the complexity of those NCCN guidelines and kind of puts them into an intuitive and dynamic questionnaire, which can be used anywhere in the world.
That's incredible. I viewed your website and it is very, like you said, very simple, very easy to access, I would say. And the fact that it's so accessible and you started at such a young age is quite incredible to me. With starting at a young age, were there any pivotal moments or setbacks that kind of shaped how would you move along now, your journey going into this?
Yeah, I think there were definitely challenges at every stage of this. I think being a student researcher sometimes and trying to make your work actually used in a clinical setting always comes with its set of challenges, which I learned. It's difficult to establish credibility. And for that, I think the best way to do it is make sure that the work you're doing is validated. And you're consulting experts, and you have someone making sure that what you're doing is going in the right direction. And in terms of more technical challenges, I think with brcatest.org, it was a little bit more streamlined. And at that time, I was still getting my footing as a student researcher. So I did run into some pitfalls. But over there, having good mentorship is really what helped and helped me stay and continue in the right direction. And then from there, with my most recent project, which was really now going from screening to the diagnosis of breast cancer and using an AI pipeline to harness ultrasound data as opposed to MRIs and mammograms, which are more commonly used in affluent regions. So it's really focusing on the existing ultrasound infrastructure in underserved communities and developing areas to offer breast cancer diagnosis. And the issue I ran into there was having limited access to data because a lot of the work being done in this field is really for MRIs, for mammograms, for biopsies. And because of that, not a lot of publicly available data for breast ultrasounds exists. So that was a challenge that I kind of needed to work through because without data, when it comes to AI, you really don't have much. So that's where I turned to generative AI and other strategies.
How did you work through? Are you still trying to figure out with the data, or have you had a solution for not having as much data as you would hope?
Yeah, it's been a challenge, but I think what I was able to do was in my pipeline, I integrated a data augmentation step where I take the ultrasound images and I apply generative adversarial network and stable diffusion models. And that increases the scope of the data set and also enhances the ultrasounds. So that has been a good answer to the problem. And then there is obviously no substitute for real data. So as I continue to test this model and launch it, I hope to get more real data through partnerships.
Yeah, you mentioned in your setbacks that along the way you've had a teacher or a mentor who helped you and played a significant role in guiding or supporting you on your journey. Could you name some? I know you mentioned one earlier.
Yes. I think so many people have been so instrumental in my research. I mentioned earlier Dr. Mandeep Singh, who's a surgical oncologist. And I think my collaboration with him was really the cornerstone of a lot of my journey, because he's been there throughout. He's seen me really progress from when I created this BRCA tool to now expanding it to this entire nonprofit. So that's been a really meaningful collaboration, I think. And I've learned so much about this. Creating these solutions isn't just about taking technology and applying it to a problem. You really have to understand the medical guidelines. You have to consider ethical considerations. So I think it's been really great for that. And then my school is also very supportive of research. My biology teacher in particular has been very encouraging, and I'm able to always go to them, come to them with these ideas for my projects, come to them whenever I'm facing an issue, and they always give me great solutions. And very, I think it's a very supportive community, which has been amazing for my research. And then, of course, my family has been a huge part of this. They've always believed in me, and they've given me the resources to be able to do the work that I want to do.
That's incredible. I can only imagine you've achieved so much. So just having the support is obviously, I would say, so vital to what you do and how you've been doing it and the success you've been. They've definitely played a role in that. So if you could describe to our listeners who might not be familiar with any of the terms you're using, can you explain how BRCATest.org works? How do you utilize the NCCN guidelines to help women assess their genetic risk for breast cancer?
Yeah. So BRCATest.org is really about, I mentioned earlier, allowing women to determine their risk of having a BRCA1 or 2 mutation. And having a mutation in either one of these genes increases your risk of developing breast cancer significantly. But if you're able to detect these mutations early on, then you know you have a higher risk of developing breast cancer. So you're able to detect that early, and early detection in breast cancer is critical, and it leads to majorly better outcomes. I'll give you a statistic for reference. If you're able to diagnose breast cancer at the earliest stage, mortality rates are just 2% as compared to 68% if it's diagnosed at the latest stage.
Oh, wow.
So there is a huge potential to make a difference. And what BRCATest.org does is it uses the NCCN guidelines, which are an evidence-based criteria for identifying your genetic risk factors. And it takes those guidelines and it's turned them into an algorithm with a front-end questionnaire where users can answer a series of questions about their personal and family history and health background. And then the algorithm provides a preliminary assessment of whether they should consider getting genetic testing or consulting a specialist. So it's a really great way to encourage proactive conversations with healthcare providers.
Yeah. Are there any technical challenges that you face with working with BRCTest.org or AI?
Yeah. I think with BRCATest.org, the technology behind it was pretty streamlined, and I was still learning as I was going along. So I ran into some challenges where I had to actually completely pivot the entire thing. I was doing a Python-based approach, and then I wanted to integrate it into this website directly. So I transitioned to JavaScript, and so that was a learning curve where I think what I've learned from that is how you have to be willing to adapt sometimes and pivot the direction of your project. But as long as you keep your core goal in mind, that's something that you have to be okay with. And then with the AI project, which was a lot more recent, I ran into so many issues, really. The first one was, again, data sourcing. So from there, I tried to compile different data sets that were publicly available and see how that performed. And then when I was applying the generative tools, since there was limited data for those as well, it was difficult to train the models to be able to produce really accurate synthetic images. So that took a lot of hyperparameter tuning. And what that really is just adjusting the epochs or different values and weights of the model to make it perform better. So as I was developing the app, I think I was using Swift, and it was difficult to integrate the entire pipeline and the featureization because my pipeline was so complex into such a simple user interface. So I definitely ran into some challenges there. And then also the approval process for the App Store, because this is a medical project and they take those projects super seriously, it's been a difficult process making sure that everything is to their standard And I'm still working through that. Right now, we have external testing on test flight. So we're through that stage of the approval process. And we're still working on getting the final approvals because it's a really intense process.
Yeah, I can only imagine switching from like Python, who is more of a dynamic, object-oriented language, to Java, who is more of like statistic type. I could only imagine how difficult that was. But you navigated everything that you have done so well. And every challenge I feel like for you is probably just a step further from gaining such great knowledge and having that. So we're gonna take a break. I'm here with Disha Gupta. And I'm Abigail Wood, your host for Teen Scientist.
Hi, this is Steve Inskeep with NPR News, inviting you to join me for Morning Edition on WDIY. Morning Edition takes listeners across this country and around the world with stories that inform and challenge and entertain alongside the day's weather, traffic, and local news headlines. Listen to Morning Edition weekdays beginning at 5 a.m. right here on WDIY 88.1, your trusted Lehigh Valley NPR member station since 1995.
Hi, I'm back with Disha Gupta, and here we're on Teen Scientist, and I'm your host, Abigail Wood. So I want to kind of flip stones now, and accessibility is major of your work. How do you ensure that tools like brctest.org and your iOS app reach women in unserved regions, like you've said?
I think accessibility is really at the heart of a lot of my work because I think that research is really important, but it's meaningless unless it reaches the people who really need it. So what I've tried to do with all of my tools is to make them web-based. So for example, brcatest.org can really be accessed anywhere in the world, and the mobile app as well. I'm currently working on actually making it Android compatible as well. Right now it's iOS, but I think in the regions that I really want to touch, a lot of people have Androids. So I'm working on creating an app that is also compatible with that format.
How's that going?
It's going well. It's very different. So it's not something where I could just take the code from Swift and turn it into like an Android compatible app, but it's always interesting to see how different like platforms are different.
It's good though to get platforms that you need and do that all. You're getting all the experience.
Yeah. And then the other thing is what I've done now is I've taken this project, brcatest.org, and I've taken the AI pipeline and I've put them under the sphere of this nonprofit, which is Women's Health AI. And the goal here is to provide resources for women on the end-to-end journey, taking them all the way from screening to testing, diagnosis, and then post-surgical rehabilitation as well. That's a program I'm working on to help women after breast cancer surgery, especially in areas where they don't get as much rehabilitation support, offering a free program that I'm working on right now. Where they can get free exercises and be guided through the phases of treatment and prevent the onset of conditions like lymphedema. So what I'm really trying to do is make everything, all these tools, web-based and accessible through the website at womenshealth.ai. And so the goal is to meet women where they are. So making sure that all of our resources are accessible to them at their level. That's where for the AI pipeline, I really emphasized making sure that I was only working with ultrasound data because that is really what the infrastructure there is based on.
Yeah, you've already gotten 400,000 hits, so it's obviously reaching a ton of people, which is great to hear when breast cancer is a global issue. So with that, how do you see your work contributing to early detection and intervention on an international scale?
Yeah, I see this as part of like the larger ecosystem. I think that in terms of advancing early detection, to give some context, so breast cancer mortality rates right now stand at around 7% in the US, compared to 27% in India and 60% in Africa. And so there's this staggering disconnect, which boils down to the time of diagnosis. And my hope is that through my work and providing these AI-enabled tools to women in underserved areas, in developing countries, and even here as well, where there are huge disparities between affluent and low-resource areas, I want to shift the focus from treatment which is really important, but really well established, and really focus on prevention. Because if we're able to catch cancer in its earliest stages, it's giving women a chance to reduce the strain on healthcare systems and to give them the best chance of survival. So I think that my work and everything that I've done is important because it's taking them through. First, I focused on screening, then diagnosis, and now I'm working on post-treatment. So really creating this comprehensive tool and resource for women.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's clear that you have worked already, your work has already made such an impact. And for students who are inspired by both your story, you might feel unsure how to begin their own journey. What advice would you give them?
I would say you can start small, but start somewhere. Like I said before, when I first started, I really wasn't sure exactly what direction I was going in. I knew I loved AI and I loved coding. And then later on, I found out that I was really passionate about helping women, particularly in these areas who I saw did not have the access to medical infrastructure and resources that they needed. So once you identify something like that, that you're passionate about, you don't need a perfect plan. I think take the first step and you have to be willing to learn as you go, because I definitely did. And surround yourself with people who, number one, believe in you and believe in your vision, and then also have the resources to help you along that journey. And having support like that really does help you keep going. And you will learn so much once you start and you continue. It's a natural progression, and you will be so surprised by the things that you're able to do.
Yeah, and inspiring others about their future and thinking about your future, I can only imagine. Do you envision expanding your efforts into other areas of healthcare, or perhaps exploring new frontiers in technology?
Yes, definitely. I think looking ahead, in terms of my specific projects for the Cancer Detect app, I have a lot of plans to, like I said, I'm trying to make it compatible with the Android interface, and then I'm also looking to pursue things like HIPAA compliance so that we can deal with sensitive data, and making the app multilingual. You were talking about accessibility earlier. I think that it's really important to, as I said, make the tools meet people where they are. And so a large part of that is even things like making it multilingual so that people can understand it anywhere in the world. And then under the sphere of my nonprofit, I think I'm staying focused on breast cancer, but really going deeper and deeper and applying cutting edge technology there. So like I said, I'm developing a post-surgical rehabilitation program. So I want to continue expanding that and creating this hub of information for women who might necessarily not otherwise have access to it. And then also just creating other expert validated resources for them. I really just want to focus on scaling these tools globally and continuing to apply the high innovation and high tech adaptions to low resource practicality. So bridging that gap.
And talking more broadly on a global scale, like you've been saying, what role do you think young innovators like yourself can play in tackling pressing global challenges, particularly in the field of healthcare, not just breast cancer, but all around?
I think that young innovators are really the future of healthcare innovation, and the healthcare industry has been so analog for so long. And I think applying technology to this field has so much potential. And I think people now are recognizing that, and they know that the new young generation is the future. And so you will find so much support and so much encouragement if you take that step and you start on this journey. You'll find that people are willing to support you and they really want you to continue your work, because the work that you're doing now, it seems like you're just doing it in high school. But as you continue along that path, you're going to make such a huge impact. And so I think that being a young change maker, your ideas do matter. And you shouldn't underestimate your ability to make an impact. Just make sure that you are always working with people who see this field, who are deeply entrenched in this field and know exactly what is needed and can help guide you. But you can make an impact no matter your age or your background. And I would definitely encourage any young girls out there to try STEM. Your voice does belong here, and you can make a huge difference.
You, as a young innovator, have played definitely a pivotal role as yourself and inspiring others, and it's just incredible to see. Yet you've taken on the incredible challenge as a junior to do this and have succeeded a leading nonprofit on top of it. What keeps you motivated to keep pushing forward and making an impact?
That's a great question. I think for me, one of the most important things to keep yourself motivated is to surround yourself, especially in junior year, with people who are going to motivate you. So making sure that your friends are a really good balance and they help keep you, they allow you to have fun and de-stress, but at the same time to make sure that you're surrounded by people who want to succeed and who will always be supportive of your passions and always be there for you. And then I think it's important to make sure that you're never pushing yourself in a direction that you don't want to go in, because then junior year and dealing with high school and the pressure of research becomes unbearable. So find your niche and find what makes you feel like what you're doing isn't work, and then it'll be a lot easier. And of course, it's always difficult to balance. Even for me, there's so much school, there's college prep. But I think if you look at the research that you're doing as almost a break from the pressure of that and from the pressure of school and from your upcoming tests, it's really great.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it, because you don't have any deadlines on this. You're just more and more progressing further and further and building it into an incredible nonprofit. So I can kind of relate to you in stuff that I do. It's more of a break and not work to me. And having that mindset, I would say, makes all the difference, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So you've talked about your work and it is truly inspiring, and it's been a pleasure learning about your journey and your vision. Before we wrap up, is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners?
First of all, thank you so much for having me. It's been so great to have a platform to talk about my own work and also to highlight the importance of breast cancer genetics testing, because I think that in so many conversations that I've had with people, they aren't aware of how impactful it can be. And that's not true in just India and Africa and rural communities. That happens so much in the US as well, where there's a huge emphasis on treatment and diagnosis, but not so much on prevention and what you can really do to mitigate your risk, or at least detect cancer early when the most treatment can be done. So I think what I would say is that it's really important to make sure that you get genetic testing done. And yeah, thank you so much for encouraging student research. I think it's great.
Yeah, thank you so much for doing all of this. And I hope that this can add another layer of kind of addressing this and hopefully gets out to people and they can use what you have done and what you have shared with us and kind of utilize that for themselves, and maybe we'll save someone's life.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Disha, for sharing your journey with us. We can't wait to see what you accomplish next. And thank you for our listeners for tuning in and watching Teen Scientist. I'm your host, Abigail Wood, and I hope you have a great day.